So now we've done our Game of the Year podcast, 2016 is officially over. Now we can look forward and ahead to 2017.
How are we going to do that, Thomas?
By talking about some old games.
Yay! It's Tom Matt Attack.
I don't know if I'll touch on anything that was released this year, but then we're hardly in this year, to be honest.
No, that's true.
February.
Yes, but we're getting ahead
of
ourselves.
What's come out this year already?
Lots of things. Neo, Gravity Rush 2.
What's that?
Neo. It's the
That one.
Team Ninja.
I'll tell you about that
Dark
game.
Souls.
I thought, cool, yeah. Right? Team Ninja, cool. I downloaded it, hated it.
Really?
Hated it.
Is there a demo?
Yeah, there was a demo ages ago. It was like a beta.
Oh, okay.
I say hated it. It was too slow and too difficult for my liking. But then again, my initial impression of that was worse than the first time I played Dark Souls 2.
That's interesting. Okay. Yeah.
I didn't like it much. I thought this is a bit too much for me. Maybe it's definitely one of them games you'll spend a bit of time with, I think.
Oh, that's a bit of a shame.
It didn't really work for me in a demo
capacity. No. I was a demo Gravity Rush 2. I haven't tried it yet because I plan on buying the full game.
Yeah.
I've played a bit of Yakuza 0 way back when I went to Gamescom, and yeah. I really enjoyed it, which has got my whole I'm going to buy all the Yakuza games and play through them thing going in the back of my head.
But that's
going
to take a lot of time.
But that's going to take a while, yeah. They're pretty long games. Mm. I have the first one.
Yeah.
It is in my PlayStation 2 ready to
It's ready to go.
It's
a shame
about...
you have to play it on PlayStation 2, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah. To be honest with you, I was kind of looking to see if there was like a PS2 Classics version on my PS4. There isn't. Apparently, they are remaking the first two Yakuza games on the PlayStation 4.
Well, that's... You're going to wait, then?
No, I'm going to play the PS2 ones, I think.
He's not going to wait. He's going to put up with PS2.
That'll be fine. I mean...
There were better options, Matthew.
Oh, but come on, Tom. Not this again.
None for playing Yakuza on.
So, like, actually, this is a nice transition. You haven't even planned this, but I've been picking up a lot of PS2 games over the last 2 weeks since we podcasted last.
I don't hate the PS2, you know that.
No, I know you don't. We've had this conversation on the podcast before. Regular listeners will know and understand. But I bought a few PS2 games, believe it or not. Despite my, hey, I'm not going to buy games unless I see stuff I really want, I actually
found
a few PS2 games I did really want in charity shops and the like.
Yeah, that's like you've got to pick it up then. You don't really have a choice.
You don't. It's not often in this day and age, Tom Parry, that you see a 10 krona copy of Guitar Man, for example.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, back in the day, it probably did, before it got a little bit more desirable.
Yeah,
I remember when I worked at Game, it wasn't a particularly expensive title. But it's another one of them that has risen value. But 10 krona.
10 krona for a copy of that. I was just like, yeah, cool.
You can get it on the PSP as well.
You can indeed. I got a copy of Fantavision as well.
That was 10 a penny back in the day, wasn't it?
But believe it or not, it's one of those games I've not seen in a while.
Yeah, I've not seen it in a while either.
And so I saw it there and I was like, man, I'm going to grab that.
I've not seen Eternal Ring in a while either.
No, me neither, actually. Eternal Ring is a game I've always been curious about. It's one of those games that came out early in the PS2 launch, such as Shadow of Memories. And they were both games. I was like, oh, I'm going to pick those up. Those sound pretty interesting
but
concepts.
You can get Shadow of Memories on the Xbox.
You can,
indeed.
I don't
know if it's better to get an Xbox. Crimson Rose. I mentioned this, but it's a bit like Shadow of Memory. It's a bit like Broken Sword.
Yeah.
But it's by Capcom. It's got a very nice cover. It's illustrated by the same guy who did the SNK illustrations, I think. I think he probably did Capcom ones
as
well.
Have
like the
mentioned
Final Fight
before.
1
yeah,
cover,
yeah.
I think he did that in other games.
Yeah. There's a few PS2 games I still need to pick up. And they're slowly elevating in value, and it's making me think, should I just buy them now before they become ludicrously priced?
Yeah. You got a couple of bargains, so that's good.
I did, yeah. Well, what else did I get? I got a PS2 copy of Wizardry. Wizardry series is a long-running series of RPGs. It was originally PC, then it was inspired by Dungeons & Dragons, one of the first PC RPGs.
Yeah.
then they released it in Japan because they were like, oh man, this is good. Look at all what these people in the West are doing. And then they saw it and went, hey, let's make our own. And then Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy are kind of spun out of wizardry. This is actually an Atlus game, which is the reason I picked it up. You'll have probably seen the cover. It's like
I must have done.
It's a back shot of some guy looking at a tower with crazy spiky hair. Doesn't really feel in the vein of wizardry because it's a very serious, like, D&D-esque role-playing game. First person walking.
I'm looking it up now because I need to check this out.
But that has also been a game that I saw way back when and was like, oh, I should probably pick it up. It's a Ubisoft published RPG. I bet that would be interesting. And then I realised it was Atlus when I held it in my hand and I was like, yeah, cool, 10 kroner, I'll pick that up as well.
No, I've never seen that.
You've never seen that cover?
I've never seen that game.
No, interesting.
That cover?
Yes, that's the boy. Yeah.
Never seen it. No. In all my years in games retail, all my nearly 10 years, I never...
Way back when, I used to see it a bit. But then again, I was looking for JRPGs and you weren't, so...
This one? Bastina, Wizardry Alternative Neo.
That is one I've never seen. But that's judging by the Japanese thing in the bottom corner, maybe it didn't
Wizardry
get...
Wizardry Summoner, also... So
Japanese,
It's a
very well-established franchise. There's even like 4 or 5 of them on the Game Boy. It goes...
If only she knew a bishop, Matthew.
Dot, dot, dot. Yeah, if only she knew a bishop. What else did I get? Oh, I got Obscure.
Yep.
The PS2 survival horror game set in a high school.
I've seen that one before, yeah.
Because I was like, well, I never see Obscure anymore. It used to be a game that was obscure. Not very obscure. But lo and behold. So I got them.
That's cool.
And there was something else I picked up. Oh, a game I'm going to play with you next week, Tom Parry.
Oh, can't wait. Oh,
it's called Secret Service. It is an Activision game where you play a member of the Secret Service. It's a third-person action title.
Never heard of that.
Neither have I. I saw it. I was like, that looks like it could be a good laugh. It's on the Havoc engine. It's made by Activision. It's probably got a bit of a budget behind it, but I've never seen it before. So I was like, ah, okay, we'll give this a look.
Okay.
Go on. I got something else. You may know about this. I definitely didn't.
Right.
I picked it up just purely out of the, oh, fuck, I've never seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
Call of Duty World War.
Yes.
Final Frontier or something like that it's called.
For the Wii?
For the PS2.
It's the PS2 version of World at War, isn't it?
It's the PS2 version of World at War, yeah.
World at War didn't have the same version as everything else.
No.
I think the Wii and the PS2 versions are the same, aren't they?
Maybe. I'm not too sure. But I was just very surprised to realise that it was
on
like...
PS2, just to say it actually wasn't exactly the same game as the others. Yeah.
But it hit me a bit of a surprise, to be honest. I mean, I understand...
I'm not that surprised.
I understand Call of Duty 2, the big red one coming out when you couldn't afford an Xbox 360, but I mean, that's the fourth next-gen Call of Duty game, and they were still making PS2 ports of it.
Yeah, but maybe because there was a Wii port as well, then the two were the same, then that maybe
perhaps
makes it a bit more viable. That it wasn't specifically just for the PS2 platform.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
And then I realised there's also a Call of Duty 3 PS2 game.
That's Big Red One.
No, Big Red One is Call of Duty 2. It's like Call of Duty Finest Hour or something like that.
Yeah, Call of Duty 3, like,
what the fuck? I never realised that there was a subgenre of Call of Duty games exclusively for, like, last-gen systems at the time.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm amazed.
He's blown away.
I'm curious to see how bad that plays.
I can't imagine it's that bad, to be honest. I know Claire played a lot of World at War on the Wii and really liked it. So.
Okay, interesting.
Played it online as well. Had some sort of online user base back in the day. Along with GoldenEye for the Wii, I suppose. I mean, I used to play that online.
Yeah. GoldenEye in all but name.
Yeah. It's a good game, though, in its own right.
Yeah, but I mean, they just took the name and went, let's make a new GoldenEye.
Of course
and
it
then...
did, but didn't turn out half bad. I was in Aarhus, and I went Epic
Panda
yesterday, which we didn't mention Epic Panda, did we? But maybe we have in the past.
I think we have in the past.
Good little shop.
We're discussing it before we started recording.
The only place I know of that sells retro. I mean retro in the sense of they are more dedicated.
Yeah,
to
actual
it.
Retro.
Yeah. So I picked up a few games there. I picked up things I don't usually see. A couple of them are after. A couple of them I won't after. But I got Airborne to 64.
Nice.
Which I played a bit of today. Have you played your copy yet?
I put it in to check it was working and then was like, yeah, cool.
Yeah. It's like Tony Hawk's.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was a racing game or a more stunt-based game. But that was 100.
Yeah.
I got a San Francisco Rush 2.
Yeah.
I don't think it's called San Francisco Rush. It's called Rush 2, I think. USA Tour or something like that.
Okay.
Which you don't see a lot. It's considered rare. It was only 50 kroner. I thought, good. I like the original Rush. This is good for me. Dual Heroes, that game that you have.
Yeah.
I can't remember if your copy works or not.
Dual Heroes.
It's a fighting game on the N64.
Yeah, I think it did. I think it worked alright in the end. I think it was one of, I think Smash Brothers is the only one I never managed to get to work.
That's one of those games which I've long avoided, even though I collect fighting games.
Yeah.
There were certain games that I was like, nah, it's not even worth it. And at the price that game was on eBay.
Yeah.
It was like, no, I'm not paying upwards of 15, 20 quid for that thing.
For even a boxed or cart?
Cart, I think.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, yeah. So it was still 100 kroner, which isn't exactly dirt cheap. But fair enough. Yeah, and I played it a little bit this morning just to see if it was working, if it was all right. It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not okay. A terrible fighting game. I was just a little bit confused. There only seemed to be two attack buttons in it. Which...
That's very odd. It seems the N64 has like...
loads of buttons.
Buttons are plenty, yeah.
I was trying all of them. One seemed to be block and one seemed to be jump. It was okay. I'm glad I didn't pay the earth for it. It seems to be one of those games which is more... you find it more in Europe as opposed to the UK. You find... well... You find
on
it in...
mainland Europe, you mean?
Yes,
yeah.
That's what I mean. Happy to get that. While I was there, I also saw 40 Winks for 25 kroner and thought, well, I'll get a box copy of it.
I have a box copy of 40 Winks. Yeah, I've never played it, I don't think.
On the PlayStation.
Yeah.
It came with a little map. That was a neat touch. And on the PS2, I got Final Fight Streetwise.
Oh.
Which is really good.
Is it actually good?
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I'd recently seen a review of it online, and they were just saying how, it's actually quite a good game.
I've seen that a couple of times and just looked at the cover and gone, this must be absolutely diabolical.
It plays incredibly smooth.
Interesting.
It really does. I mean, what's a little bit disappointing about it is it's set in a more modern period, and it's meant to be more realistic. It's like set on the streets with the thugs and...
Question.
You know what I mean? It's not like it's very generic modern thug streetwise.
Is it as good as The Bouncer?
I've never played The Bouncer.
Oh!
Believe it or not.
See, a lot of people give The Bouncer a lot of crap. Mm. I actually quite like The Bouncer.
If I saw it cheap, I'd pick it up, but it probably isn't cheap anymore, is it?
Probably not, actually. That's a PS2 launch title, I think. Man, what happened? Do you remember when PS2 was dime a dozen? Like, I think we missed the boat, Tom. I think we should have just doubled down. I think we should just do that now with PS3 and Xbox 360 before it's too late.
Yeah, I feel like I already have, to be honest.
I think I have with 360.
PS3.
PS3, I still have a lot of things that I would like, but you know me, I like JRPGs. There's a lot of JRPGs with the PS3, though, I don't want, such as, like, the Hyperdimension, Neptunia Seas, and, like, all of these weird, very... niche, like when I play that Time and Eternity game, anything published by NIS, I'm like, nah, you're all right.
You know to avoid them.
Yeah.
But Final Fight was only 25, I think, after discount. It was 40 because it was 10 or 20% on these games at the time.
That's all right. I suppose you saw a copy of Yakuza 2 in there.
No.
Anywhere. Damn it.
I tell you, that was the only thing I saw that was remotely interesting. The rest of the game that I either got or weren't.
Yeah. Any Phoenix game titles, Tom?
Yeah, there were. Oh. There were, but I'm not making a point of buying them myself. So.
That's a shame.
But some of the games were quite expensive. It seems to be in that place, if they know the series, if it's a known franchise, then it's certainly going to cost you a little bit.
Yes.
Whereas if it's like unknown and still rare, then the prices are a lot more reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, I found that myself. Like, I think if it is, for example, a Mario title, if it is
Zelda,
if it is even like a Dragon Quest, because it has name recognition, it tends to be more expensive. I bought a copy of Mega Man 4 there that was actually pretty much on par because Actually, I didn't even buy it myself. I was a gift from my fiance. Mm. But it was, I think it was like 30 quid or something like that, which isn't bad.
Mm.
However, they had a copy of Mega Man 1 there recently, last time I went. I don't know if it was still there, but it was like 1,000 krona, which is over 100 quid for a copy of Mega Man 1, which is not a good price.
Not a good price, no. You do question sometimes these places, how they arrive on these particular prices.
Well, I mean, through talking with people I know who own retro stores in the UK, mm. I mean, 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to get someone come in there who is looking for an instant hit of nostalgia, who will not come to your shop week in, week out,
mm-hmm.
and will go, cool, I want an N64, 4 controllers, and Super Mario 64, or Super Mario Kart.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll go, yeah, cool, I'll take those. And then they'll buy them from your shop, which should be for a reasonable price. I mean, like, think how many copies of Super Mario 64 and Mario Kart they must
be
out there.
Well, you think, but these loose Mario Kart cartridges are going for like 20 quid nowadays.
Yeah, but it's because either A, people keep them and they don't trade them back in, which they may do with something like that terrible fighting game, or B, they'll buy them from the shop and then they'll sell them to someone they know, or they'll sell them to someone else. So they won't come back to the shop because they won't care. They'll have had their weekend of playing GoldenEye and they won't give a shit. So you raise the prices not only to match eBay, but because those people aren't going to be regulars at all.
Okay. That's an interesting little insight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just mention a couple more. Now we're on the subject of pre-owned, because I also was in Blue City. I checked out that.
Yeah.
Since coming back after Christmas, I think the only time I was in there. And I got Lego Racers 2.
Yeah. For the PS2 or?
Yeah, PS2.
Okay.
And what else did I get? Oh, I got Wayne Gretzky 3D Hockey 98.
For the N64.
Yeah. I'm guessing that's been there for a while.
It's been there for ages, yeah.
But I was looking for a hockey game for N64, and I think Wayne Gretzky series seems to be the one to go for.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a good game. I mean, obviously, I've only experienced it in one player at the moment, so not quite to its full potential. But happy to have picked up those games recently.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. So what have you been playing, Matthew? That's what
Thomas, what have I not been playing? Yeah. Well, like, first of all, I will talk about the Uncharted series.
Uh-huh.
Now, when we recorded the last podcast, I believe I'd just beaten the second one. I was on track to beat the second one.
Well, I can't remember now.
Well, I beat the second one anyways. Mm. Very good game. It goes a bit crazy at the end. I'm sure I mentioned this last time, so I'll just skip over it pretty quickly. It takes a weird side note where I was telling you the first one has like zombies at the end, and you're like, oh shit, zombies. It seems to be par for the course in those first three games that there's a weird supernatural turn at the end. So the first one is zombies. The second one's kind of like, imagine you took a character model for an orc or someone from Gears of War, very stocky, like bulky, no-necked character model,
sure,
and said, hey, isn't Avatar a good movie? Let's make them blue-skinned. So you go into like this hidden city thing, and then you fight a load of like Avatar people.
Buff Smurfs.
Yeah, buff Smurfs. and there's a boss encounter, which isn't very good, and wraps up what is an otherwise pretty enjoyable game. Third Uncharted.
You didn't enjoy that part of it, though. Or you were just disappointed that it ended on that note.
Like, the zombies was kind of like out of left field. You're like, oh shit, Nazi zombies. Oh god, what's going on here? Yeah. And it felt a bit more natural.
Weird. As natural as Nazi zombies can.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, it had kind of been building up to it for a while. Like, the buff Smurfs kind of came out of nowhere. And
that's always how they appear.
Like, up until that point of the game, it had been pretty realistic. I mean, Uncharted 1 had a lot of kind of weird fantasy things, like the submarine in the trees and all this kind of stuff going on. Like, you find out you walk around a corner, there's a Nazi submarine in the trees that come down a waterfall and not made it all the way down. Mm. And you're like, oh man, that's really weird. Like, there's these little hints of the world not being the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get to the zombies at the end, it's like, okay, this is interesting. But the plot of Uncharted 2 had been a lot around, like, this kind of,
I saw you playing a little of it,
weird triangle between you, a woman, and another dude. Their names escape me, which is really sad because they're actually pretty decent characters. And you've been called in to help them on this job, and like they double cross you, and there's a lot of things going on, and like whose side is, I think the woman's name is Chloe, whose side is she on, da 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 da. Yeah. And it's pretty good. Nice finale, pretty good storytelling, aren't they? Yeah. Uncharted 3 starts off very strong. Gets very like, oh, there's secret societies, goes a bit Da Vinci Code, which is good. But generally speaking, it doesn't feel as good as the second one did. And I know this is pretty much the established opinion on Uncharted, that is 2 is better than 3 is better than 1.
Right. But 1 isn't bad by any means?
Definitely not. No. I mean, it's just aged poorly, I think. Mm. I talked about it originally when I was talking about it way back when.
We did that Uncharted Fatigue episode, I think.
It was Uncharted Fatigue,
It's been going a while, the Uncharted journey you've been on.
But I mean, I pretty much beat Uncharted 2, 3 and 4 within a very short space of time. I didn't necessarily plan to do that. I played Uncharted 2 and I enjoyed it a hell of a lot. So I was like, okay, I'll play Uncharted 3 because I want to play Uncharted 4. Mm. And I was playing Uncharted 3 and I was just like, man, this game's not great.
I guess you weren't playing it in the perspective of it being on a PS3, because I imagine that it was quite a good-looking game at the time and maybe pushed the PS3 somewhat.
Well, yeah.
And then on PS4, maybe it doesn't have the same...
Don't get me wrong. It doesn't look bad. Yeah. It just... There's weird, hitchy things in the controls in that series, and then 4 is not an exception.
Mm.
Of you jump and expect, Drake to cling to something, and then he won't. You, hit the surface wrong and then, ragdoll a little bit and then die. Mm. And you're like, fuck's sake, there's so much weird, hitchy stuff to that game.
Yeah.
That it just kind of gets in the way. And to be honest with you, as much as I enjoy that game,
yeah.
Honestly, I'm drawing a blank on how it ends. I can't tell you how it ended.
What was it called? Uncharted 3, Drake's Fortune was the first
Drake's
one,
Drake's Fortune
wasn't it?
Is the first one.
Yeah.
Drake's Deception, I believe, is the third one.
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah. And so you play it and I do remember how it ends.
Some sort of deception.
No, you crash in the desert in this really over-the-top action sequence of you being on a plane and someone opening a plane door and you fighting with them. And then you go to this hidden city in the middle of the desert and you join up with a load of... I don't even know what they are. They're freedom fighter people in the middle of the desert protecting this hidden city. What?
Sounds a little bit like Living Daylights.
Yeah, actually. Yes.
I'm thinking of the plane and the freedom fighters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It is a little bit like that. And then you go to the city and then lo and behold, much like every other Uncharted game, it all kind of falls apart at the end.
Yeah.
Uncharted 4, Thomas. Talking about ending 2016, this was one that was on my list of games to play in 2016, but I didn't get around to it. Mm. It's quite possibly one of the best games I've ever played.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, this is coming off the back of The Last of Us, which was I was pretty impressed by what I played of that recently. And I can only imagine that this being a game made after that would have to deliver on some level.
Honestly, I don't know if you would get the same level of enjoyment out
if
of it
you hadn't
not
played
knowing
the
other characters.
That's why I gravitated towards the Tomb Raider series a bit more than Uncharted.
But it's so polished. It's so... Honestly, it is... It's like a 15-hour game. Or something around there.
Okay.
And there was not a moment where I didn't... It was one of those games that just gripped me in a way that I was like, fuck, I want to play Uncharted 4.
Mm.
The story is so well written.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is flawless. You get a few of these moments. I was talking about in Uncharted 3 where it's hitchy or you jump at a wall and you don't quite make the grab and then he falls to his death and then the checkpoints are a bit unforgiving. And it's like, shit, man, that could have been a bit easier.
Mm.
I put it on Explorer. This time around. Usually I play on easy or normal just to get through the game pretty quickly. And I was like, well, I'm going to put it on Explorer because
which is
I...
the equivalent the, of...
It's essentially like casual mode.
Okay.
Because I was like, well, I don't really enjoy the combat in these games. The combat for me in the Uncharted series is abysmal.
Yeah. But you want to play it more for the story.
It's incredibly generic third-person cover action. Yeah. And it's not really a genre I'm a massive fan of. Like, I tend to play a lot of third-person games, but for that kind of, like, running, gunning, shooting thing, I either prefer to play it in first-person or I prefer there to be some other mechanics to the game that really do it. Because, as you know, it's very similar to the new Tomb Raider series, and then you're just like, okay, cool, I hit this area, now I've got to kill 30 enemies. Now I've got to hit this area, now I've got to kill 30 enemies. Oh, there's one that's slightly in armor, I better shoot the barrels because they blow up.
Tomb Raider had a bit of survival in it, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
I recall.
Whereas Uncharted is just kind of like you walking between bits, and Drake's brother is in this game, which is no spoiler to anyone because it was
the like an
E3
evil
pitch.
Nathan Drake.
No, he's also
more complex than that.
It's very complex, and I don't want to give too much of it away because it's a very interesting story, and him not being in the previous games explained in a very great way. Uncharted 3 has some stuff going on where it kind of shows you a bit of Drake's backstory, and then this kind of fills in the stuff before that, because he's just in Spain, or in Cuba, sorry, on his own, and it's not really explained why he's in Cuba on his own.
In 4?
In 3.
Oh, in 3, okay.
He meets Sully, and it establishes the relationship with his, like, longtime friend and all this kind of stuff, but it doesn't really tell you how he got there, or you just assume he's a street urchin. Uncharted 4 then kind of goes further back and says, oh, well, you know...
Oh, so like, that's a flashback in 3?
Yeah, yeah. All right, you play segments as young Nathan Drake, where you are a child. Yeah. And then Uncharted 4 then kind of fills in the bits before that, and you find out that Drake is an orphan and his brother, da-da-da-da-da.
More than just a generic action hero, maybe he was in the first game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in the first game, he's just like, hey, I'm one of the... the descendants of Francis Drake. Yes. Oh, Drake didn't have any heirs. Ha ha, not that you know about. And it fills in all of that stuff and gives that real flesh. It's like, oh shit, this is why this happened. This is why this happened. Okay, this is interesting. But even beyond that, just the way it deals with like character-driven emotions and like Drake talking to Elena, who's his wife in this game, and talking about the issues they have and all this kind of
stuff.
More
mature.
It's definitely more mature and definitely has a feeling of closure at the end of it. It's a very well-told story.
So you feel this is the end? This is Thief's End?
They leave it open. I mean, you know, the door is there if they were to make another one.
Just like Indiana Jones.
Yeah, exactly. But honestly, like, if they didn't make another Uncharted game, I'd be pretty happy.
Yeah. But I suppose you're glad they made this one, because sometimes you think, leave it at a trilogy, you know?
Yeah.
If it felt all well wrapped up at the end of the third game, and you think, I don't need to play another game like this. But you feel different. You feel like, yes, it was very worthwhile to do a fourth Uncharted game, because they managed to do the best game the series.
It's very weird, right? Because you look at the first three games, and yeah, they're good games. Like, at the time, they probably would have been very good games. But obviously, there's been so much come out since that I would have just been like, okay, cool. Well, that I would equate the experience of playing something like Gears of War. Very polished game, but it didn't make me think about anything. It didn't
Gears
really...
of War, I was thinking Gears of War, because it's another game with 4 main series entries.
Yeah.
But... obviously the spin-off as well.
Yeah, but I mean, there's also the Vita game of Uncharted that I haven't played.
It's no different in that respect,
But it's interesting, man. It's, like, honestly, I think the first three games, I would have played them and gone, yeah, they're good games, I can see why people like them. But I would never have thought more about them. 4 actually got me thinking about how you tell stories in games in a way I haven't before. Because it's kind of got a bit of the Bioshock thing about it, in that the combat kind of makes you feel like, hey, this is just here for the player to do something. Whereas when you're walking around Bioshock, you know, there's all this story going on. And admittedly, like, I think they nail it in this game in a way they didn't in the first three, in that the combat and the conversations you're having in combat, well, the yelling and all the situational stuff feels a bit more natural. It's like a good action film would. And that is always the comparison I heard with the first three, but I didn't really agree. Like, yeah, it was very cinematic, but the bits in between for me were just like, they didn't gel. Here, I think they got that mixture right. But admittedly, it was because I was playing it on casual, perhaps.
Was it fun on casual? Still?
You know, you're still completely overrun with enemies in the same way you are. It's just they're a lot easier to kill.
You never felt yourself thinking this is just
No. Like, to be honest with you, like, I played.
You want a bit of challenge, or even if you're not really playing for the combat, you still want some challenge.
You're still running up against walls at the end of it where there's like four armored enemies with grenade launchers. Like, there's still challenge to have of you, like, oh, right, I got to pop.
That's what
over
I always worry if I go for
off.
A more casual mode. I worry I won't be challenged enough.
No, I think there's still challenge there. Okay. I mean, obviously, the puzzles and stuff are still the same. It's not like they solve the puzzles for you or anything. So.
Sure, yeah, the puzzles, yeah. It's another big part of the gameplay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it delivers on that. But the story, for me, is perhaps some of the best storytelling I've seen in a video game ever.
Okay. So if you had a review in a magazine and it was like,
Story would be 10, I think.
Graphics?
Graphics would also be 10, and it's a beautiful looking game.
Audio?
Soundtrack's all right, I guess. Yeah, 8? I don't know.
Gameplay?
Gameplay, 8.
Okay.
I think it's very good. I think it's very polished. It's definitely an improvement on the three before
it. I like
it
because this is sort of like an old magazine review. It is, yeah. This is fun. Like Days of N64 magazine.
Yes. but, it doesn't necessarily do anything new and exciting. Like, it's got new mechanics on top of the old Uncharted games. Like, you've got a grapple now, so you can swing around and do other things, and you can use a winch on a jeep to pull down obstacles and stuff. Like. Okay. But all in all, it's a pretty standard game. I think it feels a lot nicer, but obviously it would after playing something like The Last of Us, which is, as you say, a very competent game in terms of shooting mechanics. Yeah.
So Matt, to sum it up, give us a retro percentage out of 100%.
Fucking hell, right, okay. I would give it like a 91.
91%?
I think it's a very strong game.
Official Tom and Matt magazine.
Oh.
That's the next foray.
Yeah, man, you've got to start making the thumbnails look like they were out of an old magazine now. You realise that. You've just set yourself up for a task.
I'd buy that.
I think it's good. I honestly, like, I think a lot of perhaps what I'm feeling towards it, though, was based out of the idea of, hey, this is a brilliant story. Like, and the narrative arc of the series is encapsulated in this, and I don't want to spoil the ending, but I think it's got a very poignant ending, and I think it'll stick with me for a while. It makes me question now when I see other games and their storytelling mechanics.
Great.
That being said, Tom, I literally, before this podcast ended and slightly delayed my arrival because I beat The Last Guardian.
Yes.
Right then.
Yes, you weren't so sure about this.
I played about 4 hours of it. The reason there wasn't a podcast last week, we didn't really discuss it on the podcast because I forgot I was going, was... folks over here in Denmark, we have a thing called Julesminder, it's referred to, which is where a lot of guys get together, we rent a summer house, we play games for a weekend.
So it actually has an official title?
Well, that used to be the name of the place where it was held, which is a place on the east coast of Denmark in a summer house, but it isn't anymore. The name has remained.
I know a tradition. I know it's a tradition because our colleague Anis also does that with a few of his friends, goes away for a little bit and...
Yeah, I'd never been before, mainly because it was Smash Brothers focused. So I'm not a big lover of Smash Brothers.
Neither am I.
I did find an appreciation for Smash Brothers after that weekend, though, of playing it so much. I understand it a little bit more now, and I'm kind of like, okay, cool. I wouldn't mind playing Smash Brothers on a Thursday with them every now and again. Like, it's generally quite a fun game once you're into it, and once you're playing with people who are very high level play. Who aren't just wrecking you,
really, because I always thought it's more fun as a party game than a serious competitive fighting game.
But it works quite well, but I'll talk about that in a second. So I took last Friday off because we all went there on a Thursday evening, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna get into Last Guardian, and got a day of uninterrupted play.
Yeah, you
I'm
tell me
play
you
some Last
you
Guardian.
You enjoying it so much, yeah?
I honestly would go so far as to say I despise the game. Coming off the back of Uncharted 4, which is an incredibly polished experience, playing Last Guardian, and I imagine I probably played somewhere in the region of what you have of that game.
Met a little bit more.
It felt very clumsy. It felt very broken in places. I really liked the character of Trico, but I didn't necessarily feel any real attachment to him, because as beautiful as I think that model is, and I think what they were doing with the AI made me instantly feel like it was a cat. Like, obviously, I have a cat, and I've heard from people who have dogs that they think it's a dog. Like, you get this immediate attachment to an animal in, like, a way I don't think I've ever felt in a game before. But the controls were very clunky. The way that the boy moves around, admittedly, is how you would imagine a small child to move, I think, in a video game.
But I thought it felt very much like previous games in the series.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
but I at the time,
that floppy animation,
I was just like, wow, this style of game hasn't aged very well, which is odd because I played Shadow of the Colossus and Iconia last year, and I really enjoyed playing them again,
isn't it? Because it retains so many of the same gameplay elements.
Yes,
and stylistically very similar.
And there was a lot of like, hey, I'm going to pull this chain puzzles. Hey, yeah. I'm going to climb this chain and swing around, and then I'm going to give something to this character. And I was like, oh man, do I really want to play 10 hours of this? Is this something that I really am going to set myself up for? I mean, like, you know, I was super hyped for this game. I bought the limited edition with the nice statue and everything in the art book. And I looked through that. And I was like, man, this world looks amazing. And that was the thing that was with me through the entire thing. I was like, man, this looks incredible. Like, regardless of if it started as a PS2 game or then it was a PS3 game and now it's a PS4 game, the world looks incredible. I was just very, very much annoyed with the fact that Trico didn't really seem to control very well, and I didn't really like the boy, and I died a lot, and I was finding it very hard to navigate around the world. But then, at the same time, I played more of it, and I really started to like it. And I was like, okay, like, now I've kind of washed off my immediacy of playing Uncharted 4 and how polished that was. I started going through it, and some events happened in that game. I'm like, wow, this is really cool. And as I kept playing it, and as I got further into it, I would probably go so far as to say, yes, there are some control issues with that game, but I think it's probably the best of those three. I would also say that it is perhaps very much apparent that while Uncharted is able to tell a story using cinematic invention of just like, hey, I'm going to, you know, we're going to go from A to B and then we've got a cutscene in between and we're going to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
You build an attachment to the character of Trico with very little more than the character narrating his experience as an older character.
Yes, I quite liked that at the beginning.
And events happen and things you go through with that character culminate in such a way around three quarters of the game you finally understand what is going on. And it was a pretty profound moment, to be honest. Yes. It was.
I can imagine. Even though I don't know specifically what we're talking about.
I don't want to give it away because
I felt there was something more to all this. Of course there is, because it doesn't really explain exactly what's going on at the beginning.
No, it doesn't. And it doesn't for a long, long time. And then when you see how both of those characters came to be
in that pit
they're in, and for the first time, really, you see a cutscene in that game that explains a lot of this stuff. You're like, fuck. Like, it all makes sense suddenly in a way that I don't necessarily think you could tell a story like that in any other medium bar video games.
Yeah.
Like,
they didn't know each other going into this, did they? They were thrust in a situation where they had to work together to escape. But maybe they had similar experiences before or similar reasons why they're there.
I don't want to tell too much, Tom, but it builds.
You can only imagine.
Man,
it'd be quite interesting. Yeah.
It's incredible. honestly, like, I'm very sad that we will probably never see another game like this from Ueda. Like, the fact that they will probably, like, because this game did not sell very well, it's got a permanent price drop of £20 at the moment. Like, it's down to £40 to buy a new copy. And that's on the store and stuff. That is everywhere. They slashed the price by £20.
Because to me, it was a must-have on release.
Me too.
Even though I haven't actually spent a lot of time with it.
And this is what I hear from a lot of people I know who
love video games.
Love video games and love the series. Yeah. They own the game. They've perhaps bought it, but they've not played it.
Okay.
Honestly, like, if you are on the fence about this game, now that it is £40, you're probably going to get it for about 30, 20, maybe, if you're lucky, on something like Amazon on a deal at the moment.
Wow.
Go buy this fucking game.
Yeah.
Because honestly...
You really, like, have turned around on this, then.
I was ready not to play it again. Like,
yeah, because my experience of it wasn't as extreme as yours seems to have been.
I really disliked it. Yeah. Like, and
I wonder how much I'm going to like it, then, if I liked it as it was.
You know, like, it... Honestly, like, I talked with a few people at work who are also playing it, and they're like, I don't know, I'm on the phone. They had a similar experience that I had.
Who else has been playing?
Some folks from Digital Games.
Oh, okay, you know, okay.
But it was... Honestly, like, I'm blown away by this game. Like, the strength of the storytelling and the strength of, like, the bond with Trico, especially... Mm. It's something I never experienced in a video game.
This is what I've heard about it, though. This is what, and then that made me think, oh, I was so concerned when you said how you initially felt, based upon what else I've heard about how this game actually progresses. And as I think I said to you, that Edge gave it Game of the Year.
Yeah.
And after what you said, I think, how could it be Game of the Year?
But, honestly, like, I've questioned so many, like, gaming journalists who I very much respect their opinions. They all put it on their top tens for Game of the Year and stuff, and I'd be like, oh, man, how the fuck did you get... Like, there's clearly some weird nostalgia you have for the first two games that I'm missing in this, because this feels broken to me. This feels like a very late PS2 game. I can't get to grips with this, especially after playing something with a level of polish that Uncharted 4 had.
But if you can look past that, which probably remains a constant...
Honestly, once you are into, like, 5 hours of it, you get used to how that game plays.
It's funny that, because I think that's true about a lot of games. A lot of games which don't initially feel maybe a bit ropey.
Yeah.
You can adjust.
Yeah.
And I'll speak later, it's a totally different type of game, but I had a similar experience with something I picked up recently.
And don't get me wrong, like... Some of the controls in that game are fucking terrible. Like, the amount of times that I jumped for a platform and missed are unforgivable.
Yeah.
The fact that you feed Trico these barrels, as you mentioned on the last podcast.
Let me tell you something about those barrels.
Yeah.
I didn't realise they were food for the longest time.
Yeah.
At the start of the game. I was like, where is the food? Because I've been given that hint of you got to feed it.
Yeah.
I just found these barrels and I was like, oh, these bloody barrels everywhere. Yeah. There's no food here.
The fact that your character, like, admittedly it makes it more realistic, but, like, you can't line your throw up.
No.
Because your character, like, goes from the right and throws left.
Mm.
There's a few sections in that game where you literally have to feed Trico
because he only responds to you if he's been fed.
It's also, like, later in the game, it also becomes very apparent that feeding him, like, restores his health after, like, battle segments or whatever. And to try and feed him 4 barrels, which you have to do towards the back end of the game where he's trapped by an obstacle...
Mm.
And you're trying to give him the strength to get out.
Yeah.
Was maddening. It took me like 15 minutes to feed him 3 fucking barrels because you would throw the barrel to him. They were clearly, his character model could clearly reach them.
Yeah.
But there was something in the animation that would hitch and knock them away. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Ooh.
There's so many little things like that. And there's a few segments, like in the E3 trailer, where, like, that bit where they're running across the bridge and you catch onto Trico's tail.
Mm-hmm.
They look amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But the frame rate drops to something like fucking 10 frames a second. It looks like, you know, like, it looks like an animated GIF in the 90s of, like, Vegeta throwing a fucking Kamehameha. Of, like, it's all this stuff going on. And cinematically, it looks amazing. I've never seen anything like it. You're running between these towers and all these things are falling and, like, a bridge is collapsing.
Oh, I'm excited.
It's just such a, like, a wow moment. There's so much of it taken away by the fact that the frame rate just drops to a crawl.
Oh, that's a real shame.
And it's like, cool, I appreciate that you did this in the in-game engine, but as you clearly did cutscenes later in the game, because clearly I don't think this engine that you've built would have been able to handle the amount of stuff that is going on in these cutscenes. Couldn't you have taken a leaf out of the late game book and gone, okay, I'm just going to make this a cutscene? Because you do slight interactions of, like, you calling Trico or something. You don't need to. Like, I appreciate the effort, but when it is actually detrimental to the effect that you're trying to create, I just kind of like, oh, it's such a fucking shame.
Okay.
But it, honestly, like...
It's worth it.
It's worth it.
There you go.
Like,
Last Guardian, it's faults, worth it.
100% worth it. Please, please, if you were on the fence about buying this game, go out and buy it, because honestly, I think it will be sadly overlooked by a lot of people.
Graphics.
Graphics. Ooh, it's a tough one. I'd say about an 8. Like, generally speaking, the ruins and everything else around the world and, like, Trico's character and everything is very stylish, but they do look like late PS3 graphics for the most part, I think.
Sound.
Didn't really notice the soundtrack for most of the game. There's a few, like, epic moments where you're fighting armor and stuff. I don't know, it was 7. It was fine. It didn't distract me.
Gameplay.
It's still, like, a 7, I think. Like, there's so much that is unforgivable that game plays.
There were other categories, weren't there, back in the day in magazines? You had graphic, sound,
story, multiplayer.
I guess there's a multiplayer.
Yeah, but there's no multiplayer in this
story. Let's do a story in there.
Story, I would give it a 9, if not a 10. Okay. I think that is how you tell stories with video games, and I think a lot of companies, and even Naughty Dog themselves, like, could learn a lot from how that experience... Like, they're very different games, I admit. Like, it's very much, I think, a Western philosophy and an Eastern philosophy to how games are made and how stories should be told. I'm just very sad, as I've said, that I don't think I will experience something like this again.
Because this game might not have been as successful as been it's anticipated. It
definitely isn't. And I mean, you know, combined with the fact that it was over 10 years in development and plays very, very roughly, I think this is perhaps the last game we will see from Ueda, very sad.
So what do you give it percentage? Bear in mind, gave Uncharted 91%. I like putting you on the spot with these methods.
It's so hard. Like, I understand why, like, scores mean nothing.
Give it like a 0.5 or something of a...
I would give it like a 7.8 or something like that.
Oh, you're going to get a 7? Is it 70?
It's like 78%.
78%. Yeah, sorry, yeah.
However...
78%.
It could quite possibly be one of my favourite games of all time.
And this is just the thing about it, because I like films which I'd only deem a 6 out of 10. I don't see them be a pretty well-made film, but on an entertainment value, very high, and films like that can easily be one of your favourites. Trances, for instance,
the
Full Moon classic with Tim Thomason, is definitely a 6 out of 10 film, but it is one of my favourites.
Honestly, it has so much going for it, but there's so much against it that I can understand why people are reluctant. I understand why people I know have played it and gone, nah, this isn't for me. But just please persevere with it, because honestly, I've said enough.
Okay, and I'm going to move on to something completely different. I purchased a game on the PS4 store yesterday.
Oh, really?
For only £1.39.
Ooh la la.
Discounted from £9.99, I think. And it was a game that I'd first seen at the Play Expo a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And it was that independent studio had made it. I think it's actually Whale Studio, who've also done Space Badgers. Well, if you remember, that was a PS Vita game.
Space Badgers, yeah.
And my initial first impressions of this game, Coffin Dodgers, which is a multiplayer karting
racer,
game.
Right.
It's got a story mode.
Yeah.
So that's what I was playing. But it's a great concept. You've got all these old people in this village and death has come for them.
Yeah.
You know, so... So they're all at death's door and you've got to race death in order to stay alive.
Okay,
so there's all these... It's great. It's quite charming. It's properly
British
concept,
in this...
but bad first impression, because... It's ropey, to say the least, in terms of... I think it's maybe The frame rate, perhaps, in it. You know, when you play Mario Kart, it feels smooth.
Yeah.
This game doesn't feel smooth. It feels a little bit jerky, little bit off.
Yeah.
But you adjust to that. I adjusted to it fairly quickly, actually.
Yeah.
And even though I thought, this is trash, I've wasted £1.39.
Fucking hell, man.
Right? Like... I couldn't stop playing it.
Yeah.
Because I adjusted to it and actually thought, actually, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
And really enjoyed it. And there's actually quite a lot to do because you can upgrade your vehicles as well, which is fun and adds an extra dimension to the gameplay. There's apparently some open world stuff going on, some mini games. But the initial story mode, you had about 5 different locations with 3 races each.
Yeah.
And each one was noticeably different from the other. It wasn't like it was recycling the same things over and over again. It recycled a few elements, but at least it was fresh enough. Music was good. Design, I think the design was good. Art design was good. Yeah. The characters looked comical and well done. There was something that I was saying to Claire, my girlfriend, as we were playing it. I was like, oh, these shops, I was going through a village and these shop signs were so basic, as I could have made a better design for a shop logo. But then it's not what it's about, really.
Yeah.
It's not, and obviously this game had a rather small budget. Maybe not one. I mean, they put a lot of effort into the character designs, but some of the background elements aren't as well done.
Yeah.
But you can't expect an amazingly polished product. But I'm actually very impressed at what must have been a limited budget, of how solid, actually, of a karting game it is. You have traditional weapons. You've got the homing missiles. You've got things like the Uzi, which is quite novel. That's a bit different. And you have a weapon, a cane.
Okay.
Basic default weapon you always have is a cane, where if you hold down circle and then release it, you do more damage.
Yeah.
You can upgrade that to like a string of sausages later on. And it's all rather charming. And it all culminates in a nice little cutscene where you've beaten Death at the very end. And he has to retire in the village. And I liked it. And it's well worth £1.39.
I'll pick it up. I was curious. I've heard bad things about Coffin Dodgers, but...
Do you know what? It's fun.
Yeah.
I think you should at least try it.
I'll give it a go for a quid.
Yeah. Yeah, but... I really liked it, and I couldn't stop playing it.
Okay.
And I had to go back to it this morning and finish it.
How long that, would you say it is? Well, that's one of an old categories for like percentages, like gameplay length.
It's longevity. Yeah. Longevity, actually, if you can do the story mode, but I didn't get first on every track. There was enough of a challenge there for I finished 6th, sometimes a 4th, some still overall finished first or high enough to progress to the next stage. What was disappointing about is when you do story mode, you can't go back into your save game and replay races to get higher rankings.
That sucks.
But it does give you the option after every race to retry it. So I suggest doing that. Retrying and not accepting a 6th place or a 4th place or whatever you get. I've bigged it up in a way, but for an indie game, it's very good.
Yeah,
cool. It is not, you know, it's not one of those games. It's probably a 7.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is a 10 out of 10 game or anything.
No, you're not getting out of that easy, Tom Parry. Gameplay.
Oh, game.
Yeah, see?
Gameplay is a... Whoa. It's a 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sound.
It's a 7.
Visuals.
7.
Bearing in mind what you just said about those logos.
7.
Okay.
Because it had the other stuff to back it up.
Multiplayer.
Not tried it yet.
Longevity.
Oh, 7.
Okay.
I'm going to give it 70%.
Fucking cowboy.
71%.
Good boy. There we go.
Just like your 91 on Uncharted.
Yeah.
See, that's pretty high. But value for money, £1.39 for 71%.
If you'd pay £10 for it.
50, maybe 50%.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But it is 51, it's quite charming.
1% charm.
great game. We also played, me and Claire played Double Dragon 4 this morning.
Yeah, that's pretty ropey. You're just not very good, Tom. What are you going to tell me?
Now, okay. So, it's not bad.
Yeah.
It isn't as like, it didn't feel like they put that much effort into it.
No,
to be
this
honest.
Is what I hear.
I've seen a few videos online, and these retro game fans seem pretty happy with it on the whole.
Interesting.
But, that surprised me because it cuts a few corners, yeah. Really. It's not true NES game on your PS4 because a lot of it seems like photos that have been digitized for the backgrounds mm-hmm. and things. So it looks like it's been quick production.
Yeah.
It's basic brawler. Basic beat 'em up, type going and beat 'em up. There's platforming sections which mix up a little bit, but they're kind of frustrating that they are. Enemies designs are cool. It has got that retro throwback feel.
Yeah.
Music's actually very good.
Okay.
We got up to stage 8. I'm not sure how many stages there are. Challenges for us was a good level actually. Yeah. So it has got some longevity to it. We didn't finish it in the first try, where I've heard it's quite easy for some people. Maybe you've played more of the older Double Dragon games.
Yeah.
But it doesn't throw anything new in. The fourth game in the series, you kind of want to see some upgrades.
Yeah.
For me, there isn't enough of that. Visual design is, it's retro, but it's bland. It's not an interesting design at all.
This is what I hear. When you say the words arc system works, there are a certain set of expectations that go along with that name.
They've tried to make it retro looking, but the thing is, you haven't got to sacrifice originality in the visuals and such. You know, there's, I can't recall if... It doesn't add anything new. It's a fourth game in the series, and it really doesn't add... It's got a versus mode, which apparently keeps the longevity up a little bit, which is quite fun.
There was in Double Dragon 1, and it's quite fun.
But this one is apparently a lot better than it has been in previous... It's a fairly good package, but it's probably not worth a tenner. Which is what it is at the moment. It's a tenner.
Fuck!
In America, it's less. It's not as expensive in America. But always, they usually get stuff a bit cheaper than
quid,
us.
Though.
Yeah.
Can you play it on your beta? Is it cross-buy?
No, I don't think so.
No, fuck that then. I'll wait for it to come on sale.
Wait for it to come on sale. It's not worth £10. That is my review of...
Visuals!
Visuals. Oh, dear. Actually, visual design. Some of the enemy design I like, but I'd say these visuals. Fuck. 6.
Sound.
7.5.
Gameplay.
6.5.
Longevity.
Oh, 7.
Value for money.
Value for money. Well, that's sort of like longevity, isn't it, in a way? Value for money isn't great. I'd say 6.
Scores on the doors, Tom Parry. Percentage.
Did I enjoy Coffin Dodgers more than Double Dragon 4? It's a great question. So I'd give Coffin Dodgers about 50% if it was a tenner.
Okay.
I'd give Double Dragon maybe about 70% if it was under £2.
Okay.
Right? In this case, I'm going to give it 60%.
Okay. I think you've been being a bit generous there.
Well, we enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
It's nothing amazing.
No.
Especially after last night, I decided to play a bit of Streets of Rage 2.
Yeah.
And if these two games in comparison, I don't think Double Dragon ever measured up to Streets of Rage in any way.
I do.
The older ones.
I love Double Dragon 2. It's
okay.
One of my favourite NES games.
I love Streets of Rage 2.
Admittedly, I never had a Sega Mega Drive.
Miles better.
All I've really played of Streets of Rage, to be perfectly honest, is Streets of Rage 3.
Oh,
which isn't very good.
No, Streets of Rage 2, much better game.
Not as good as Final Fight.
Just play that.
Yeah.
Or play Double Dragon 2. Yes. This game's... If you really want more Double Dragon in that style, then I guess this is your only option.
Yeah, it's a shame. Go back and play Double Dragon 2, The Revenge.
Or play the one on the Game Boy Advance one gets a good...
Double Dragon Neon on the Xbox 360 and PS3 was also a pretty good game.
The thing about that game was it's got a lot more going for it, a lot more originality. It's much better.
Yeah.
Get that one if you have to spend what, 10 quid on it.
Hey, I mean, you know, like, I guess this is just to gauge interest in Double Dragon as a series. Mm. Hopefully then Arc System
I would have
will
really appreciated if it's
one.
Like an anniversary, and this is to honour the anniversary, but I think they should have delivered a much higher quality product if you're going to honour a game with a legacy that Double Dragon has. That this series is kind of just not come back in a big way, apart from Neo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. That did it ages ago. Yes. This is just a side note.
That's a shame.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a sort of scathing review, but not bad.
So, speaking, you got anything else to talk about? I got one more game.
I've got a couple more things I can talk about.
Overcooked, Tom.
Yeah, you played this last weekend in a multiplayer scenario.
I did. I had played it the previous week with my fiance and one of our friends come over for dinner, and I was like, oh, we'll play this. So good a game, Tom Parry. I bought a fourth controller and then took it away for this weekend so we could play some Overcooked. Mm. And man, that game is fun. That game is...
I saw Simon Wilson playing it.
Yes, he bought it. He was so bowled over by it, he bought it. Also, he bought Sports Friends, I think, or maybe even Nitro Plus, because I played it with them and everyone was like, oh, booby anime game. I was like, no, be surprised.
No.
And then everyone was playing it, was just like, man, this is a really good fighting game. I was like, yes, I know, that's why I brought it.
Yeah, featured in our Game of the Year.
Featured in our Game of the Year, featured in my personal top 10 games of the year.
Would feature in mine, had I done one.
Exactly. Had you played more than three games. I kid. No, Overcooked is an incredibly good
game.
I've
seen it being played.
Yes. I don't think it's a secret. I think a lot of people who follow most gaming media will have seen multiplayer games of Overcooked being played. And I can confirm that, yes.
Teamwork
is key, but the stress of, oh shit, we're making burgers, you gotta chop the onions and I'll get the burgers flipping, and oh no, we're actually on two vans that are moving separate times, so you need to throw me all of the ingredients while the van's pulling off, is good clean fun, is how I would describe Overcooked, even though it can get messy in that kitchen.
Reminds me of a game on the Wii, Order Up.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
But it didn't have those sort of extreme situations like being on two trucks trying
to
make.
No, it definitely didn't. I mean, this game for me...
It was pretty good.
Is it an incredibly good multiplayer game? It is something to play with people you know, and it is one of those, oh, one more go games.
Yeah.
So much so that most people were there last weekend for that Smash Brothers tournament, but people were like, forfeiting their Smash Brothers round to play Overcooked.
Wow, that felt like a small victory.
It did, yeah.
Nice. So you suggest I should get that?
I honestly,
you
I think
me and Claire
get...
might enjoy it.
I think I'm not sure if it's good two player.
Oh, because, you played it more than two player.
I played it. We always played it. I've only played it three or four player. I tried playing it two player with my fiance Marta, and you have to control two chefs at one time, which is a bit tricky. I don't necessarily think it's suited for two player.
Oh, right. Okay.
Three or more for me is the best Overcooked setup. But, you know, I know people who've beaten it on two player and they claim it's not as bad. I just didn't.
Oh.
It didn't grip me as much on two player.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I'll finish off by saying I played 45 minutes of. I've written Doom 3 here. It's not
Doom
3 either. It's Doom 4, technically.
Yeah.
45 minutes more of that. That's all I could take at the time.
Yeah.
But I thoroughly enjoyed it. Not when I say all I can take, it's not that I wasn't enjoying it. It's just that I felt that was a nice place to leave it.
Yes.
And I really enjoyed it. So I keep coming back to that every now and again.
Doom is your tapas game.
Yes.
Little nibbles.
It is. Great game. Forza Horizon 2 was a little bit like that as well. You know, beautiful game. I forgot how nice that game looked. Of course, now it's been kind of outdated by Forza Horizon 3, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it's still a good, fun game to pick up and play. And of course, it's so sunny. And at this time of year when it's dull and maybe snowing or very cold, it's a nice antidote to that.
That's fair.
Nearly finished Pokemon Moon. Nearly. I've done the first of the Elite Four.
Cool.
On the train yesterday. We went out for the day. Great. Still great. Still fulfilling everything I said we talked about on the last podcast.
Tom and Matt Attacks Game of the Year 2016. Yep. For a reason.
Played Destiny again.
Really?
Recently. You know, I didn't realize how high. I was at 38, level 38, 39.
Ooh, higher level now.
Had a bit of fun with it. I found that some of these extra missions they had in Taken King, this one in particular, was like, we got stuck, we didn't know what to do. The the idea is you got to survey a battlefield, the battle going on between two factions, and you're there as the guardians, and one of the mission objectives is survey the battlefield.
Yeah.
Get reconnaissance. So you have to climb all the way up to the top of this rocky structure and just look at the battlefield.
Okay, and cool, that sounds fun.
But that hasn't been in the game at all. You know, we've never had another situation where we've had to do this kind of reconnaissance, and it's not really clear. It shows you on the map where you have to go, but unless you use your noggin and kind of think, well, constantly I've got to look, give data back to whoever's asking for you. And it's awkward to jump up this structure.
Yeah.
Because the game's not really...
built for first-person platforming.
Not really, no. It's fun, that gliding mechanic is, but this wasn't... You didn't really have to use it in this circumstance.
You have to do some of that in the raids, though.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, jumpy, small platforms.
But it's
a very
awkward thing to jump up. Because it wasn't like it was an obvious structure. You could... You look at it and think, I can't jump up that scenery.
Yeah.
But... actually, we had to jump up it, which was just kind of odd design for me. Otherwise, you know, I like picking it up every now and again and playing a bit of Destiny.
It a play.
Yeah, I like that game. Lego Racers 2 is an interesting one. It's a bit bland, but you can build your car.
Yes, you can.
Which was super. And, you know, this kind of customization it's sorely lacking, I think, you know, in the more recent Lego games. It actually worked really well.
Yes.
You're saying what items you want to build onto your car, and you could make something. I'd love to see more of this. It's a very basic concept. It's not as fun and fast as Coffin Dodgers.
Yeah.
If I compare it to anything. But solid, but rather bland.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, like...
It's an old game.
It is an old game. Yeah, I was going to say,
very
there's
old
a lot
game
happened
now.
In the car game space since then.
Too much bloody talking.
Really?
Yeah. In the story mode, they're talking about pointless things. You go to a town and everyone there wants to prove that they're the fastest. You know, the fireman's fastest, the postman's fastest. They're all the fastest, and so you just have a race. So why you really need to spend time talking about that?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's quite a simple idea. Twilight Princess, I borrowed off you. Liked it so much, I bought my own copy. So
yeah!
Take that back with you.
High five on the microphone.
Not that I haven't played Twilight Princess before, but playing it on the Wii U is delightful. Delightful. It's really, really good on it.
Yeah.
If you compare the footage off the GameCube to the Wii U, or the Wii, for that matter, it's substantially better. It's a, you know, sometimes I think these HD versions, is it worth bothering? I haven't picked up the HD versions of Uncharted yet. I've seen you play them and I've actually thought they look rather good.
Yes.
But when you take a game that came out for the GameCube and then you make it HD, then you really notice a difference.
I've told you right before that people take, there's a GameCube emulator called Dolphin.
Yeah,
and
I've
people
seen
with high-end PCs run GameCube games on it and they look amazing.
Yeah.
They put a lot of time and effort into textures on that console, but now it's when they need to make HD remakes, I think they can just take the same models. Obviously, they need to do a bit of polish to them, but I think the fidelity of the detail they put into those models was so high even back then.
Yeah, I thought
I think
that.
It carries over.
Yeah. Austin came over, our friend Austin, we mentioned him before.
Good friend
Austin. He said, oh, but the textures. Ugh. He'd heard something very negative about the textures in Twilight Princess, and honestly, I didn't really... notice. As you say, I think they've held up rather well.
Yeah, me too.
And the game still looks good.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good game.
Yep.
Again, one of those games I was completely not sold on after playing the Wii version, really like after playing the Wii U one.
Yeah, certainly. I have nothing more to talk about, I think, this
week.
Well
then, Tom Parry, let's call it a day, shall we? 2 weeks' time, Tom. Almost. We will have Nintendo... Well, I will have a Nintendo Switch in my hand.
You will?
Yeah. I can't wait.
You will have it in your hand.
I will.
You might even play it in your hand because it's Nintendo Switch.
Yes.
And it can be played like that.
It can be played in the hand. GameStop has
a
Nintendo Switch section now.
I saw them putting that up the other day, I think.
It's a load of boxes, a load of DVD cases for Bomberman. Taking up a shelf.
Orhus, so.
Yeah. Interesting times. Almost time for a new Nintendo console. I'm quite excited.
So let's hope Wii U games get discounted heavily.
Yeah, I assume so. To be honest with you, like if I'm talking cherry picks of Wii U, though, very few titles for me to actually pick up. I would like to get a copy of Tropical Freeze because I don't know. I would like to get a copy of 3D World because I don't own it.
Well, that's great because both of them are in the select, so they probably
We'll probably go down
cheap. Inexpensive. They're about 18 quid new.
Yeah.
So
the only two I need, I think.
In my experience, I actually bought a copy of Pikmin 3 recently.
Yeah.
Second hand for 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like a decent price.
Yeah, I think they're quite affordable. Zelda's, actually, my copy of Zelda cost me like 27.
Yeah.
Second hand.
Okay.
So that was quite expensive.
I got the Zeldas. I mean, I'm not particularly fond of Game & Wario or Star Fox. I actually took them to this Ewell's Minder thing so our friend Bass could play them and try them out. And he's like, I'm glad I played those because I don't want to buy them. They're not good enough to buy. And I was like, he loves Star Fox. And trying to explain to him that why it's such a bad game, he's like, oh, I played the demo. I didn't find it. And he played half the game and he's like, no, this isn't a very good game.
Okay.
So... Yeah, I mean, there may be a few others, but I mean, I've got like the Rayman games, I've got Lego City Undercover, like all the games I would want on that console, I think I own bar Tropical Freeze.
I'd like Wonderful 101, I think.
I have Wonderful 101, yeah. I have Captain Toad, I have...
Star Fox Guard, have you played that?
I haven't played Star Fox Guard, it. I have it, yeah, mm-hmm. I haven't opened my copy. Just because I haven't got around to it. The Wii U, I'm almost at the bottom of my pile of shame for the PS4. I literally just installed Wolfenstein before I came out, and then I have the two Witcher DLCs.
Aha.
Then I have beaten everything I've bought physically for the PS4. Mm. Well, I didn't beat Murder Soul Suspect, or I didn't beat Bloodborne. But that's because Murder Soul Suspect is not worth playing. So I've now come up with a new twist on the sticker thing of putting a black sticker on a game where I'm like, I didn't beat this game. But
so for those who don't know this, when Matt completes a game, he puts a small round sticker on the spine of the game.
Yes.
It's green if you've completed it.
No, it depends on the U. This year's colour, Tom, is yellow.
All right.
Your favourite colour.
So how do you find so many colours?
Well, because
for small
when you buy
stickers?
These packs of stickers here in Denmark, they have like 12 colours on one sheet.
So you're good for 12 years.
Like, I'm good for 12 years, yeah. So it's all right. Beaten 14 games already this year.
If you ever went around Matt Ball's place and saw all these different colour stickers on the side of his game, it's a little bit like those Nintendo colours on the sides. So
yes.
You wonder, well, what do they mean?
Yeah, it's
well,
good. The year I've beaten that game,
that's the year
which is kind of sad.
Beating that game.
But there we go. Yeah, so they...
Now, the Nintendo one is the region it's released in, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Green for Europe, I think.
Green for UK.
UK,
yellow
sorry.
For Scandinavia.
Yeah, there you go.
Purple, I believe, is Europe. So some
yeah,
UK
like a pinky
titles
purple
will have that
one.
Pinky
yeah,
purple.
I have
on
a
them.
Few of them. I have pinky purples, I have yellows, and I have greens.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the US has that.
Yeah.
I have a Spanish copy of Shovel Knight. I should check what colour that is.
I have a Spanish copy of Metal Gear, actually.
Yeah.
Twin Snakes that I sold.
Okay. Interesting. See? Anyways... if you've enjoyed this podcast, you can keep up with our latest comings and goings in a variety of places. You can do so on facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack, on Twitter at TMAcast. And you can listen to the podcast in a few places as well, such as blastprocess.com,
TomAndMattAttack.com/podcast,
and on your mobile device in iTunes and Stitcher. While you're in both of those places, why not give us a cheeky rate and subscribe just to let us know that you are out there listening in Radio Land. Until next week, where there will be a podcast.
I was going to say, let's do it in the bath.
Well, you could listen to it in the bath, get some bubbles going, maybe play on a Wii U handheld and be like, oh yeah, they are right. Star Fox isn't a very good game, especially not to play in a bath because I have
Didn't
to
you need a TV?
Yeah.
Don't you?
No,
can
I'm
you
not,
just
I mean,
play it on there?
You
yeah,
maybe
you can
play it on the gamepad, I guess. That would just be even worse though,
yes,
because then you would have to aim through
the
cockpit.
Good perspective.
Oh god, don't do that. That would be a nightmare. It'd make you want to drop that in the bathtub.
As it is now, I think there will be.
There will, yeah. Might
change, to be honest.
Fair enough.
I still have my good lady over here. But
your good lady. Lady yeah. That's
but I
enough.
Think at this point in time, yes, we should be doing another one next week.
We may also go to a car boot sale, so maybe we shall say things
about
yes. that as well.
I think actually we probably will, because...
Yes. Yeah. Okay, cool. Until next week, though, everybody out there, have a good one in gaming, and game on.
Game on.